Man, oh man, the 2025 Champ Off-Road season is just right around the corner. Shane, how you doing, buddy?
Hello? Who is this? How'd you get this number?
Welcome to the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by Amsoil.
Welcome, everyone, to the 2025 Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by Amsoil. I'm Brent Smith alongside Shane Stensny, and we are ready to get 2025 underway.
Oh, no doubt about it. We are gearing up for it. I know that the people out there have been waiting a long time, maybe, to hear our voices. Some of them, you know, we've had a chance to hang out with some of these drivers throughout the offseason. I think, though, what the people need more than anything right now, the official kickoff of the 2025 Champ Off-Road season, I need you to get in the headspace of calling a race, and I need to hear you say slide job. The people need it.
Yeah, man, it's just unreal. I just love Champ Off-Road racing, and any time that we see a crazy pass, you got to go after it. You got to be like, hey, man, here comes a slide job, and that's what we're all about, right, Shane? We're all about just keeping the people interested, and, man, it gives us goosebumps every time we try a different saying.
Right, but to be clear, I want a 100% real one right now. I think the people need it.
Slide job!
All right, I'll take it. That felt like 90%, but, you know, we're shaking the rust off just like the drivers will be here in a couple of weeks when we go to Wheatland. So, you know, let's continue with the small talk a little bit. The last time that a lot of these people heard from us and heard from you, Brent Smith, you were on the podium in ProLite in round 13. So what have you been up to all winter since that triumphant moment back at Crandon at the Big House?
Man, what a Cinderella story for us and our team and just everything that went on. It wasn't a win, but it was a win to us because just the second weekend ever in a ProLite, it was just above and beyond my expectations. And we tried to do the best we could. And to be up on that podium, to get to talk to Haley and just to reminisce and be on TV on a different platform, it was amazing. It was awesome to know that you were up in the booth with Nolan and just covering the best sport in the world. And I got to be behind the wheel. So, I mean, don't want to take any more of the time. It was just over the top. And I hope to be doing that once again. And don't know whether it'll be a Pro Light or Pro 2, but stay tuned. It's going to be good. We're just trying to make things happen. Obviously, it takes a lot to make a program go on, but hey, the opportunity, can't thank Carl and everybody behind the scenes enough for allowing me to do it.
I've told this story a couple different times to people privately, but I remember the day after that, Sunday at the racetrack, people were saying, you know, how excited was he? Was he just absolutely jacked? And I said, you guys don't even know the half of it. I remember we got back to the hotel. We hung out at the racetrack for a while. We got back to the hotel and I promise I'm not making fun of you because I was excited for you. You know that. But you laying in the beds in the hotel room, you walked me through the entire race in such detail that I know from your vantage point what the entire race looked like.
Oh, you know me, Shane, right? I'm trying to keep you up to par and you love every bit of it. And it's hard not to explain everything because so much is going on in a race truck that you just can't even explain. I always said that you got to really know how to do it before you get in it and hope that your brain helps you out because stuff is going on so quick, so fast. And these guys are so talented and these girls in this Champ Off-Road phenomenon, dude, it's just ridiculous how great the talent is. And I was just glad to be a part of it. And I always wanted to race in off-road since I was 3 years old. Everyone knows the story if you've been around me, but to get to actually do it and to perform, hey, I can't thank Johnny Holger Racing enough and Yokohama Tire and the Geolander group. Everything about those tires were awesome. And everyone around us just made it happen and hope to get to do it again. Right. I mean, everybody's got a dream, and I felt like I set my goals and I made them happen.
Yeah, you got a lot of fans out here, you know, myself being fan number one, president of the fan club, so can't wait to see what's next for you behind the wheel. But, you know, when it comes to these off seasons like this, the long period of waiting, you know, we after the last race of the year, we wait for the schedule to come out. Drivers are waiting for the new rule book to come out or waiting for the big announcement. Fortunately, last year, we got to make some of those announcements during Labor Day weekend, which was great. But during the off season, what do you miss the most about the Champ Off-Road season? Like, what do you find yourself daydreaming about in the middle of January?
Man, just that raw horsepower, right? We're going through all this stage of in our life of electric cars. And, you know, I mean, we'll bring Kyle the Duke into this and we'll never forget that dude because he just was so smart. And he always said, you know, I race those electric cars for Chip Ganassi. And yeah, they were cool and everything. But if you like to hear a whistle, that's about all you get. And that's what I miss in the off season is that raw power, that the noise of those cams and those motors and that 750 plus power. I mean, there's nothing like it. There's nothing that compares to it in my eyes. I mean, yeah, you can watch other racing, but just the people and the camaraderie that we get to go talk to our favorite racers and our fans and our friends. And it just makes it that much better to think about the next year when you think about all those little things that lead you up to it. And it's just, it gives me goosebumps thinking that we're getting the opportunity to get to go call the best sport in the world.
Yeah. You brought up the people that we get to hang out with, the people that we work with, or the people that the racers that we get to talk about, and the crews, all the friends that we have back in the pits, the friends that we have in the grandstands. That does it for me, man. That's what I miss from the last race day of the year all the way until we get to Wheatland here in a couple of weeks. That's really the main thing about off-road racing that I think about. And I brought this up at the banquet in January, that the community, the sense of community that we have really does transcend, you know, it's bigger than the series, bigger than any track, bigger than, you know, any of our great racers. It's so corny, but it rings so true for me that we are just one big family. And I'm missing a lot of my cousins right now, I guess. So I'm excited. I'm super excited to get to Wheatland here in a couple of weeks. And what a great story that is. We're going to Wheatland. Drivers have been asking for this, trying to will it into existence for a couple of years now. You know, Forrest Lucas out at Lucas Oil Speedway built this state-of-the-art, ridiculous off-road track. They only raced there in National Series a couple times. It's just been sitting there. You know, they've had some regional stuff going on there the last couple of years. But this is a big deal. You've seen the track firsthand. I haven't yet. So tell us, first of all, about the track and the facility out there at Lucas Oil Speedway.
Man, it's where do you start, Shane? I was able to go out there, like you said, and broadcast for 3 different years. And I remember Wheatland back in the day where it was cool and laid out in front of a little arena. But this one is just over the top. You come from a long drive from the airport, pull in, and then all of a sudden it's just this big open field of a motorsports facility. They have a dirt track there, drag boats, I mean, helicopter rides. I mean, everything that you can think of, they have to make the enjoyment that much better. And the off-road track is crazy huge, like speeds over the top, like Crandon and Bark River, flyaway jumps, like the Players Flyaway and the big hill at Bark River. I mean, the elevation changes are just so surreal. You have to go around. We'll go there when we get there, Shane. We got to go around in a golf cart and go look at the elevation, because I could explain this all day long here on the podcast, but you do not know what it looks like until you see it in person. And it's like, are you kidding me? They're going to launch over this tabletop and over this over under. And like, it is crazy. Like, it just keeps you interested the whole day. I don't care if it's side by sides, mod cart, Pro 2, Pro 4, like the battles are going to be insane, because you go from wide open straightaways to very technical, tight turns. And I think you're going to see our drivers come out on top, because you're going to need to put laps together every race if you want to win. You can't make a lot of mistakes, and that track is very, very efficient for that.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited. You know, having only seen it in video and photos, I'm super excited to see trucks flying over that huge flyaway jump. You know, Ryan Beat was on a podcast with Racer On Demand and was talking a little bit about that track and the different elements that it gives you. And like you already brought up, it's got the Bark River and Crandon style, huge elevation, high speed. It's also got some really tight technical stuff that's more Annie Goalina. So a little bit of all worlds there. But there's another component to all this. Off-road fans need to realize the significance of a Midwest series, Midwest based, I should say, going to race at Lucas Oil Speedway. And by the way, we still are AMSOIL Championship off-road. So, you know, a lot of moving parts there. Two titans in the automotive oil industry are coming together. This is a great sign for the future of short course off-road racing.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I always said, why aren't we going to this track? You know, I mean, the reason why, obviously, Lucas Oil, AMSOIL, but hey, this is so cool how it's panning out, how it should be. Everyone getting along and using our best facilities that we have to offer. No one wants to keep going back to the same show, same show. If we can mix it up throughout these next couple of years, we're going to gain more interest, more intelligence into our sport. Because, hey, as these drivers, you want to hit a track like Wheatland, because not only publicity, it's just the driving style. And then, hey, after we're done for the evening, we can skip on over to the dirt oval track and go watch some of the best world outlaws in the world. So, like, they have state-of-the-art facility that'll bring state-of-the-art drivers in the off-road facility. When we show up, I'm telling you, from the time we get there till the time we leave, everything's going to be up in the air, because as a driver, as a fan, as a sponsor, you're going to get what you paid for.
And then I think the other big note on the schedule, aside from the Midwest swing, the usual suspects that we'll see after Wheatland, we finish the year pro-only race. We're going to California. We're going to Glen Helen. And again, you've called races out there. You are intimately in touch with what the scene is like out there on the West Coast for off-road racing and its fans. How huge is this as an opportunity for those fans to get maybe reintroduced to short course off-road racing and maybe see a new spin on it with Champ Off-Road coming to town?
Man, this is big. It's big for our sport. It's big for the out west people, because the fans, the racers, it's been a while. It's been a drought out there for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years on and off. Like, who's going to come back? I mean, we have guys like Ricky Gutierrez and them traveling the long haul to come back to race in the Midwest. So it's good for them. They get to stay out back that way at the end of the year and get to close out the season. But it's at Glen Helen. It's at the famous motocross track up through the hills. And again, we talk about elevation. Like, you want to see some of the best dirt bike racing in the world, you just turn around from the facility and look back. And it's just amazing the place that we get to go. The off-road track has been redesigned a couple different times. I believe Kyla Duke really put a lot of thought in the last renovation. And it's quick. I mean, it's fast, it's short, it's technical. It's more like a Lena Anigo. There's not a lot of high speeds, but the jumps and the facility is really beautiful.
And for real racing nerds, another interesting wrinkle there is a totally different kind of dirt than anything you'll find here in the Midwest.
Right, right. Yeah, it is very different. And the wind, I remember getting practice canceled, qualifying canceled out there where we were announcing a couple different times. We canceled one day of racing, I believe. And
Don't jinx us now.
Yeah, right. But I just think that that's just the elements we're going to have to go against. And at the same time, it's that fine dirt. But you look for miles in the background and you see trains going by, the big mountaintops. We're not in Bark River and Crandon anymore when we head that way. So it'll be interesting. It was fun the years I got to go out there. And I'm really looking forward to going across the country and getting people introduced to AMSOIL Championship Off-Road, because I don't feel enough people realize how strong it really is still.
Yeah, and clearly, you know, an upward trajectory for the series, being able to step outside the Midwest, not just for one event, but for two events. Like I said a little while ago, really a sign of growth for Champ Off-Road. So I'm excited about that. And like you said, bringing in new fans, that's what we love to see. That's what the drivers love to see. And it's going to be a great adventure this year. I really believe in that. Another noteworthy change to the rule book a little bit. So sportsman teams, all the sportsman classes from youth racing all the way up to pro-am side by side, they will be racing at Wheatland, but sportsmen can now have two drop rounds, which means the two worst point scoring rounds for each driver, they can drop those rounds. it offers a little bit of strategy, a little bit more planning, and a little bit more budget flexibility too for some of those teams. Maybe a team would decide that they'd want to skip a weekend. Maybe it'll be Wheatland because it's a little bit farther than some of those sportsman teams are accustomed to traveling. Maybe it'll be ERX. Maybe they just don't like another track or have bad luck. They feel like they're cursed, so they'll skip one of the closer ones. Or they can try to make every event, and then whatever two rounds, throughout the whole year that something goes wrong. You cut a tire, lose a transmission. You can just drop those from your points. It's going to keep the points battles in sportsman racing a little bit tighter and adds a little bit of strategy. I think it's a really great change.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love it the best because, like you said, if you have a bad day or you can't make a round, that gives you the opportunity and the option where, hey, we can do really well at these three, four tracks when we know we're going to miss one of the big ones, and it'll level out at the end of the year. So I was always a fan of dropped races just because, hey, like the late Rick Huseman said, you know, 90% of it's luck, and you need some luck on your side. And if you have a bad weekend, hey, now you can scratch it.
And another new addition for Champ Off Road here in 2025, the new amateur turbo side-by-side class. So there's a lot of turbo cars out there, either from various other regional series around the country, especially down in the southern states where side-by-side racing is even bigger than it is here in the Midwest. Plus you have, you know, the parked cars from pro side-by-side, maybe drivers that have stepped out of racing a little bit, still have the race car. Now there's an opportunity for drivers to just scale back the horsepower a little bit, slide into this amateur turbo class. And now we have, again, a busier schedule and more opportunity for drivers to get involved in off-road racing.
You said busy schedule. That just adds another race for us, Shane.
we're iron men. We can handle it.
Yeah, if you throw us 25, we're going to sit up there anyway.
Nolan and Haley do all the hard work anyways. So what do you think? Should we break down, maybe refresh the memory of the fans on what happened in pro racing last year and talk a little bit about what we can expect for this year?
Yeah, absolutely, Shane. It's going to be amazing. I can't wait to get the season started. So why not? Let's talk about what we're about to see here in 2025.
All right, let's get it started with pro side-by-side. You're going to hear this next sentence a couple more times. The 24 champ was CJ Greaves. He had 3 wins in pro side-by-side last year. But remember, it was actually Andrew Carlson who started out just absolutely red hot, 5 wins through the first 7 rounds, ran into some mechanical stuff later in the year and struggled a little bit. Another big story, Jeb Boodle, who we'll also see in pro stock side-by-side, has switched over to Polaris. So he'll be in a Pro R just like CJ Greaves is in pro side-by-side. Also, year 2 for Kyle Chaney and his new platform, the Can-Am Maverick R. Hey, by the way, Kyle Chaney, we talk about how he wins everything else around the whole country. He won overall at King of the Hammers. I don't mean the UTV overall. He won the 4,400 race at King of the Hammers in a Can-Am Maverick R. I know.
Guy's a stud, though, Shane. We've talked about him. I mean, if he's in that race, don't count him out. We seen what he did at Antigo when he started that car on fire on accident and whatever happened mechanically, and then the next day come back and he won it. Like, that just shows you determination and just his head down power that he has going into every race car that he ever gets in. I mean, he's the man.
Yeah, he's going to be as tough as any of these guys, but I'm kind of wondering, who do you think is next in line to start to contend a little bit in pro side-by-side? I kind of got my eye on Paul Wolf. He also races in the Ultra 4 series, which different car, different style of racing, but in Ultra 4 UTV racing, he has a 10-race win streak. He's completely dominating in that form of off-road racing. Plus, maybe we see a little more this year from Owen and Rodney Van Epperen. They're Yamaha's great hope in pro side-by-side to try to keep up with the Polaris's and the Can-Ams. Out of that group, who do you see being the biggest contender to those other 4 that I mentioned?
Man, it's just hard to say. I mean, I like your pick in that with Wolf the way. I mean, the more seat time these guys are getting in the off season, it just makes it that much better coming into the Champ Off-Road season. I mean, I would say Andrew Carlson maybe a little bit. Like, he was showing a lot of speed. That car was really, really quick. And I don't know. My brain just picks out him because when that car is on, he's on. I feel he's a great driver. And I think he does really well in the side-by-sides itself.
Just as an aside here, I should have said this earlier, but we'll not make predictions for this episode. You'll have to listen to episode 2 next week. We'll give some actual concrete predictions, as well as talk about some of the sportsman classes. Maybe we can get Nolan on and he can give his predictions too. I got to hold his feet to the fire about some bad ones that he had last year, so might be a good idea. Next up, staying in the side-by-sides, pro stock side-by-side. I said you'd hear it again. Last year's champion, CJ Greaves, he had 8 wins out of those 13 rounds. Again, Boodle jumping into a Polaris. He's running the Polaris XP 1000. That's the same platform as CJ Greaves. But there are some really, really interesting newcomers. Jesse Greaves, he raced Pro-Am side-by-side last year, was on the podium a whole bunch of times. Made the jump before Crandon, before the final rounds to race pro stock. Qualified 3rd, so immediately already had the speed to keep up with the fast guys there. We'll see how he adjusts to the different level of competition. And then David Gay, the Pro-Am side-by-side champ from last year, who was pretty much dominant throughout the whole year, also joining pro stock. I've been watching his Instagram, and the hunger is at an all-time high for David Gay. He doesn't feel like he proved anything by winning that Pro-Am championship. He wants to come out and do it again, except in pro stock.
Yeah, he's a phenomenal driver, and he's just practicing a lot in the offseason, so that's what makes you a perfect driver. You have to put in the time, whether it's basketball, football, racing, whatever it is. You know that, Shane, yourself. You have to put the time and the effort in, and I think David's really going to be showing a lot more this season than you have ever seen before.
I think back to 2023, he won a race at Bark River. I think it would have been round 10 towards the end of the year. That was his first win in that class. And that was kind of the moment where it clicked. But the jump that he made, staying in the jump in results, stayed another year in Pro-Am side-by-side. And like I said, nearly impossible to beat last year. That really is a sign that I think he's going to do really well right from round 1 in Wheatland.
Yeah, a lot of these faces and these names that we've been watching for the past 2-3 seasons, you can almost pull them out of a hat, which ones are really going to be the ones up front and ready to rock and roll. And like you said, anytime you put CJ Greaves in anything, it's a feat amongst everyone else to try to tame him. And I think we have a good group of guys. Like you said, Boodle is really quick now on the Polaris.
Owen Van Epperen.
Yeah, Van Epperen. I mean, he's going to keep Yamaha alive. Him and Ronnie. I mean, Owen Van Epperen, those guys do a lot of great things, and he can drive. I mean, CJ, Owen Van Epperen, Jeb Boodle. I mean, yeah, granted, we're going to see those three up front a lot, but it's going to be some kind of showdown watching them swap and doing our famous slide jobs.
Well, another class, and this next one, Pro Buggy, I think could be the premier championship fight here in 2025. It's between Pro Buggy and Pro Spec that we'll talk about here in a little bit, but Pro Buggy, looking back at last year, Jordan Bernlohr called his shot. I saw him the day before round 1 down by the tech trailer. He said, "I'm here to win a championship." He went out and won 5 races, all of them coming in the last 5 rounds, by the way. So not only had the speed to be in contention, but finished as well as you can in an off-road season. Lorenzo Bonacci was the one with the hot start last year. He won in rounds 2, 3, and 4. Had that crash in Lena. Ran into a little bad luck throughout the rest of the year. But the group of who I think are, you know, contenders to be in that top group, you got Billy Booth. He knows how to win championships in buggies. Cole Bernlohr had that big win last year. Caden Minder, another year of seat time for him. He was fast. He's still a teenager, by the way. Then the other end of the spectrum, you got the GOAT, Mark Steinhardt, another guy who I still think has it in him to win a championship. Tony Keepers is going to be a full-timer. You know, he moonlighted a little bit in other people's cars last year, actually filled in for Steiny at Lena in the opener. He'll be there full-time. They've had a whole offseason to work on the car that he bought partway through last year. Ryan Schwalbe, last year Bark River, had that really great race. I think he finished 2nd. You can see that the, things starting to fall into place for him too. Any of those guys, I think, are capable of winning races. It's going to be really tough for anybody to consistently be up front with that many heavy hitters.
Right. And how much room's really on these tracks, some of these tight tracks, it's going to get interesting. These open wheel cars. I just love it to death to get to call this pro buggy division, because like you said, Jordan Berndtler laying down 5 wins to end the season. He was strong to start out, but like to sweep like that, that is not an easy task. And I like your calls on the GOAT, Steinhardt. You never can count him out. I don't care if he's 75 years old later on in his life. If he's on that starting lineup, he knows how to get the job done. And it's good to see keepers back and healthy. His eyes are back set in his head, and he seems like he's doing really well.
Hey, by the way, the name that we haven't brought up yet, Michael Meister, decided that he's going to come out and play this year once again. So, you know, I think he already has a handful of championships and maybe a whole handful, 5 championships in this class. You talked about not enough room on the racetrack for all those guys. I know for sure there's only 3 spots on the podium, and we just talked about 9 drivers that literally any day, toss a coin and shake some dice, any of those 3 could land in the top 3. That's going to be a really fun class to watch all year. Well, as always, this podcast is brought to you by Amsoil. For racers and off-road enthusiasts who demand peak performance, Amsoil engineers innovative synthetic lubricants that stand up to every challenge. Inspired by aerospace technology, Amsoil was the first to introduce a synthetic motor oil meeting API service requirements, outperforming conventional oils. Trust your high-performance machine with Amsoil and experience the difference that comes from a legacy of excellence and a commitment to pushing boundaries. Amsoil, run with us. Well, next up, Brent, a class you know a whole lot about, Pro Light. Last year, Trey Gibbs had 8 wins across the 13 rounds. He had the title clinched before we even showed up at Crandon for the final round. Absolutely dominant by him, but he's going to be back in the class this year yet again. The only other 2 drivers who won a race last year who will be back are Johnny Holcher and Matt Wood. Carson Brown is going to be back driving for Ryan Beat Motorsports, at least on a part-time basis, as far as we know. Michael Funk, who took a huge step last year, got a whole lot faster. He'll be back in the field. And then Matt Wood, who, you know, was one of our favorites for a couple of years. It just felt for basically 2 whole seasons like he was right on the edge of winning a race. And then finally, round 13 last year at Crandon, you know, you got the bigger cheer on the podium. People were excited, but Matt Wood probably didn't get enough flowers for that performance. Finally got career win number 1 in Pro Light. So, you know, that's the established guys in the class. But how about this group of newcomers? You know, even as up to a few weeks ago, it looked like Pro Light was going to be a little bit smaller. All of a sudden, a few guys out of the woodwork. So Josh Bayer, he debuted the truck last year. He used to race in Pro Stock side-by-side. Derek Liebergen is going to be a rookie in Pro Light this year, formerly in Pro-Am side-by-side. Ben Heiting also coming out of Pro-Am side-by-side, jumping into Pro Light. And Joey Machosik, 2-time Super Stock truck champ. This was just announced like a week ago. He is back in off-road after almost calling it a career after Crandon last year, driving a Pro Light for Darrell Wold Jr. and Wold Motorsports. That's a really fun group of new guys.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great. It's great to see the talent come up throughout the other ranks, especially Joey Machosik, 2-time Super Stock truck champ. He's going to get to show what he's got in the Pro Light. Ben Heiting, had a chance to talk with him a little bit. He's all excited. I mean, he's got the nerves and everything, probably, I can guarantee you, like anyone else, but he's gotten to drive a lot in side-by-side, so he's going to have the seat time. He'll adapt very well. And like you said, there's just a lot of new faces, a lot of old faces, but it's going to be a tough class, and these guys are really going to have to lace them up and learn from Johnny Holcher, Matt Wood, and Trey Gibbs. I mean, they are on a different level. Then you throw Milhausen in there, and guys like Funk, I mean, Michael Funk, he, I believe, got a 4th last year and a 3rd to finish up the season. And 3rd was on the championship day on Sunday. So, like, he is ready to rock and roll. And he comes from a smaller team. His dad raced back in the day. But they have big things in the works. And Johnny Holcher laying down the last win of the year in the points. I mean, him and Gibbs, it's going to be tough to run them down, but I believe that you're going to see great competition and a lot of great racers trying to get up on that podium. It's not easy by any means.
Yeah, another young guy that I think is ready to take a step forward might be Antonio Inglese. Has shown some speed here and there, trying to just build the consistency a little bit. Maybe we see a few additional part-time drivers as well. I know that Joey Sylvester, looking to get back into short course racing, has a Ryan Beat truck now. Rumors that a Zach Schimmick truck has made its way to Michigan. Again, this is reading the tea leaves and hearing rumors from some friends, so there's a few more trucks out there. Hard to say when we'll see those drivers show up, but the group that we just talked about, like we said, those established drivers and then a huge group of just big question marks, but all guys that I think could be really fast. In ProLite, like I've said many times, the trucks are almost too fast for what they are. It can get chaotic. I think it's just going to be wall-to-wall fun.
Yeah, it really is. It's going to be just one to watch this season. Once again, we say it every year, but we cannot tell you or predict anything that's going to happen. Yeah, you have your guys that have finished in the top three for multiple seasons, but I think just that new fire under everyone's belt, going to new facilities, new areas, new attention by sponsors, fans, drivers. I just think this Pro Lite, Pro 2, Pro 4 division really is going to step up and make it to the next level.
Well, you mentioned Pro 2, so let's talk about that. Yet again, Pro 2 is open for business. We're going to have a champion that won't be a repeat champion. Of course, Mickey Thomas, the champion last year, 6 wins, finally got that monkey off his back. We'll talk a little bit more about him in a different class later on. But looking back in Champ Off-Road history, 4 of the 5 Champ Off-Road Pro 2 champions, Mickey Thomas, Jarrett Brooks, Kyle Kleiman, and Corey Winter, who will be with us part-time this year, are not racing full-time. The only other Champ Off-Road Pro 2 champion still racing is Keegan Kincaid. And the big news out of his camp this winter is that he is coming back full-time for 2025.
Heck yes.
He had talked about getting burned out. You know, he was pouring his whole life into racing short course. Dialed it back, raced a partial schedule, took some family time, which you can hardly blame him, given that he, to that point, given his whole life to racing since he was a kid. But he's back, wants to win a championship. You still got Ryan Beat, you still got Ricky G, you still got Kyle Greaves. Those guys combined for 6 wins last year. Johnny Holcher with a new Pro 2, set to debut that thing at Wheatland. Then you got some part-timers, Kyle Cooper, Zach Sikowski. Should see some more Trey Gibbs, Aaron Holiday, Ronnie Anderson, Brian Deegan.
Yeah, we talk about the gloves being off, Shane. Well, I keep staring at our notes and seeing all these great drivers in this field. It's going to be one to watch. I know Ryan Beat, if you don't follow him on social media, go follow him. One to watch. He's always putting in the work, putting in the effort, building other trucks for other teams. I mean, just like everyone else, right? Kyle Greaves helping out multiple teams, fabricating, building trucks and side-by-sides and mod carts. Him and his father really have took their program to the next level. And then Johnny Holcher, he's making some changes, making things better for that team. And he's always got so much going in every weekend just to keep your head on straight. You got to give the kid credit. No matter what's going around him at any given time, I mean, it's not easy to drive one of these trucks, especially when you put 2-3 trucks under your awning at the same time.
Yeah, I think what stands out about that group too, especially Rowdy Beat and Ricky G and Keegan, you know, veteran drivers in Pro 2, they've been there for a while, and they're not afraid to get physical when the situation calls for it. You know, Kyle Greaves kind of had his baptism into that world last year at different times where I remember his dad, Kurt Greaves, talking to us saying, we're getting a little bit tired of the contact. You know, it's all part of the name of the game when you're racing a full-size off-road truck. But out of that group of the people, that those 5 that I think will be championship contenders, none of those guys are afraid to drive like that, which makes this really one to watch. I mean, it always has been, but the competitive nature of that group of drivers who refuse to back down, it's going to be a blast.
Yeah, body panels optional for Pro 2. I always say it, Shane, because man, oh man, like you said, the hats, gloves are off. They don't care and they want to win. And that's what's so cool. Just got to make sure that your tires and your wheels are still on at the halfway point so you can give it that one final drive at the end. And that's what makes things so interesting. That Pro 2 division just keeps on building and the talent just becomes stronger and stronger year to year.
Well, another class getting a little bit of an infusion of new talent, pro spec, and you even see this on the notes. I'm going to come out and say it. I'm going to use some strong language. This is going to be a Jim Dandy all year here in 2025. Looking back to last year, Dylan Parsons, a fantastic year, found the consistency that all drivers dream of. He only finished off the podium one time in the entire season. And then four other drivers won a race last year. Nick Visser, Chris Vanden Elzen, and Hunter Van Zyl are the three of those group that will be returning for 2025. You add in what we expect to be a full season from Wyatt Miller, who was fast from the first time he got in the truck last year. You add Avery Hemmer, the mod cart champ from last year, who was immediately fast when she got in the truck. You get a step forward that we expect from Ronald Clocisa, the Shannick brothers, Justin Tesmer, Porter and Glazy. Everybody in that class is getting faster. There's new exciting talent coming in. What kind of show are we in for with Pro Spec this year?
Man, I just think it's just going to keep getting better and better. We talked when this division started out, when there was only three, four trucks. Now we're talking 9, 10, 11, 12 trucks in the field at any given time. I love how they're really compared to each other. The gear ratio the same. I mean, you're talking a lot of the components. It's kind of like just everyone show up and bring your driving gear because there's not a lot you can do with the trucks, but yet you have to drive them. They remind me of the good old Pro Light days with the four cylinders in them. And now that we give them that six cylinder motor, they sound a little different. I was always like, hey, you know, what about this class? But the driving tell, you put Wyatt Miller in there, like you said, Visser, he always drives over the edge in a good way, right? You got to find that edge. But they're making these trucks look really, really quick. At any given time, any of these guys or gals can win in this class. And another newcomer, Gavin Plummer, he'll be putting his shoes in a pro spec as well.
Yeah, and Nick Axelson Nick Axelson, part of that huge title fight in stock truck last year, making that big jump into pro spec. That's another guy that you have to figure once he figures out the truck a little bit, just like Gavin Plummer, that's two more drivers that are going to be all part of this absolute, you know, dogfight.
Yeah, like you said, Avery Hemmer, look at what she did at Fall Crannon. First time in the truck. Granted, it was a great truck, but you got to drive them. You still got to get around that track. And she didn't just drive it. She performed. And I look for big things out of her, just like Justin Tesmer. He was really, really quick. He's not in the newest of trucks.
Started to get fast. He really got faster towards the end of the year. And I remember him having a really great run. Actually, him and Neil Shannick battling for the final podium spot in the World Championship race Sunday at Crandon. So, you know, both those drivers seemed like towards the end of the year started to put it together a little bit.
Yeah, you can't count on any of these drivers. Dylan Parsons, he really showed a lot of speed, working very tightly on suspension. I mean, he does own Shock Tech with his father, so they're always dialing in these trucks, and they're helping other people out as well. So look for big things out of Pro Spec. And Wyatt Miller, he's going to be there every given time, and it's just great to have him in our series.
You know, I think back to all the different kinds of drama we had last year. I remember that crazy win where Hunter Van Zyl benefited from the contact between Miller and Vanden Elzen. You remember Visser going for that huge tumble, getting the truck slapped back together. That all happened at Bark River. Just all the different battles, you know, a couple really good races at Lena for this class last year. You talked about how the rules package makes it mandatory. The trucks are pretty close in performance. Obviously, you know, suspension setups are going to be a little bit different. Tire choices are always there, but you have to fully understand your truck to absolutely squeeze every ounce of performance out of it. And what that leads to is everybody, like you said, Visser drives on the edge. Everybody's on that edge trying to find that speed. And that's another class that they're not afraid to lay a fender on each other. And we saw it across the entire class. You know, everybody's willing to throw down.
Yeah. And that's what we love. We just love that everyone takes whatever they have, all that talent, all those months of working in the off season, and it's your time to shine. You have to have a truck that fits you, like you said. No matter how good the truck is, if you don't adapt to it as a driver, you're never going to move forward. So you got to give these guys and gals credit where credit's due. When they do great in these trucks, hey, they're not easy to drive. I don't care what it is. Be there, be the fan, be their enemy, whatever, but just have respect, because from firsthand, these pro lights are gnarly.
Well, we saved the gnarliest of them all for last, at least in my opinion. Pro 4, CJ Greaves, the champion last year. He now has 4 straight championships in Pro 4. We'll talk a little bit more about that later on. You got to figure he's the favorite again, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's CJ Greaves, bro.
That's really all about all you had to say to right. answer my question.
I have mad respect for him.
But you look at, you know, the driver who, in theory, is his biggest rival in the class, Jimmy Henderson. Brand new truck last year. Absolutely state-of-the-art. Really experimental stuff going on under the fiberglass on that truck. Took him a little bit to find his footing in it. End of the year, though, 5 top 2 finishes in a row towards the late stages of that season. His mechanic, Trad Ronfelt, also won Mechanic of the Year last year. We know that from his history working with Kyle LeDuc, he will find a way to make that truck 10% faster this offseason. So Henderson, definitely a contender. Johnny Greaves back with a brand new truck again. And then the most exciting addition to this class, Mickey Thomas, last year's Pro 2 champ in Pro 4 this year. Took him a while to get over the hill in Pro 2, but do you think he can compete for wins right away in Pro 4?
Man, I mean, you're talking about Mickey Thomas. The kid was just unreal in a Pro 2 truck. Had a lot of great people behind him, like Mike Vandenhoevel, and just big, big talent. And he stood up, did the job, won Pro 2 championships. But to come out and compete right away, I mean, the talent level is unreal. And the experience is over the top in Pro 4. But Mickey Thomas, he knows how to drive. He's in a good and great truck, if you ask me. He's put some testing time in. So look for big things. Can he do good right away? Hey, don't count him out.
There really are no levels to the talent in Pro 4. All these guys are absurdly talented. But the next group of drivers here, Andrew Carlson, the wild man Chenny, Kyle Chaney, who we talked about already, his dominance racing side-by-sides all over the planet. Then you got the fun part-time guys, RJ Anderson, who will be at Wheatland with his brother Ronnie Anderson. Cole Mamer, Robert Stout, we expect to see him out on a part-time basis again this year. When all the part-timers are there, when those schedules overlap, and you have that other group of drivers, it's ridiculous to look at that group of drivers, how talented, how accomplished they all are, and realize that one of those drivers has to finish last out of that group.
You ain't a kid. That's the thing. To look at it, it's like, okay, who's going to finish last today? Okay, which one is going to have their right front ripped off? That's about the only way we can look at it, because, man, it's a war every time we watch Pro 4, no matter what. I mean, these guys and gals got to realize watching at home that these bodies are $3,000-$4,000 with vinyl on them. They don't care. No, they're just nuts, if you ask me.
You're talking about the most hyper-competitive type of person on the planet, as far as I'm concerned. A driver, a person that, you know, would break off their own arm to win a race. That whole field of guys. And you expect them to play nice? Come on.
Oh.
So I mentioned that we'd talk a little bit more about CJ Greaves and his 4 straight championships. So it's right there in front of him, a possibility to win 5 straight Pro 4 championships. And I dig into the history books to find the last person to win 5 straight Pro 4 championships, some guy named CJ Greaves, just a few years ago.
Wow.
Other big streaks, Kyle LeDuc had 4 in a row in Pro 4 back from 2014 to 2017. CJ's dad, Johnny Greaves, 5 in a row in what started out as Class 7S and became Pro Light from 94 to 98. Scott Taylor, as far as Nolan and I could come up with, the longest pro-level win streak for championships, 6 in a row in Pro 2. CJ has 188 career wins, so coming up on that 200 career win mark. He's won in Pro Buggy, Super Light, which is a class that doesn't even exist anymore, Pro Light, Pro 2, Pro 4, Pro Stock Side-by-Side, and Pro Side-by-Side. Needs 12 to get to 200. He had 16 total wins last year, by the way. And I was trying to think of a comparison to, like, stick and ball sports. I'm struggling to come up with one. Maybe, like, Wayne Gretzky. You know, Wayne Gretzky just had his all-time goal record eclipsed. But you add in his assists, so his total points, he's still, like, 1,000 ahead of everybody else. Or Ricky Henderson, maybe, the stolen base record in pro baseball. What do you even compare CJ to?
I don't know. I mean, it's easy to say that he is going to go down as not only one of the best, but if not the best short course racer in the world, in my eyes, just watching him ever since he was a young kid growing up on motocross bikes and just putting in the time, the effort. Yeah, granted, your dad's John Greaves, but you still got to come out and drive these cars and trucks. And man, we talked about Kyle LeDuc and John Greaves getting 100 career wins. Now we're facing 200, and he's half the age of his father. And it's just crazy to see what he's done in a short period of time. It might seem like a long time, but the kid's still young. I mean, he's not even 30 yet.
I think what struck me about those numbers, I think Nolan's going to fact check you on that. I think he's older than 30. But what struck me Is about he? Those numbers, I don't know. He doesn't invite me to his birthday parties. I think what struck me about those numbers is when you zoom out and see the big picture like this, I can make the argument that we are watching the greatest of all time. We're kind of missing the forest for the trees. It's happening in front of us so fast you don't realize it, but then you stand back and you go, holy cow, he's this close to 200 wins. He's got 9 Pro 4 championships, 3 in Pro 2, plus all the side-by-side championships, a Pro Buggy championship, however many you won in Pro Light. It's absurd. And I know saying this, now I'm never going to beat the allegations that I'm a Greaves fan above anybody else. I like him. He's fine. CJ's a great dude. Johnny's a great dude. The hate mail's going to roll in for this. But anyways,
yeah, well, let them.
I wanted to talk about that because I wanted to talk about it because, you know, we're seeing greatness right now. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, I agree with you 120%. Let the haters hate and the lovers love. But at the same time, Shane, you gotta say it how it is. I mean, granted, if Kyle LeDuc was still alive, he'd probably be punching us in the side of the head. But hey, you know, you got to give CJ the credit he deserves. He is just one phenomenal race car driver. And you guys can hate me or love me for saying this. Hey, I mean, a lot of people said I favored Kyle LeDuc back in the day, but at the same time, I love to see a great race car driver and watch them perform. And what he's done and what we've watched growing up, Shane, with Scott Taylor and Rick Huseman and driving through all those great drivers throughout our careers watching. I mean, you can't take it away. Anyone to get close to 200 in multiple classes combined, I'm scared to see what he'll do in his mid-30s.
So are the competitors that he has to race against sometimes twice a weekend, three times a weekend, but maybe we'll save the rest of the CJ Greaves gloss for another time. But that'll do it for this episode, Brent. Next time, so about a week from the time you're hearing this one, we'll have another one out before we head down to Wheatland, Missouri to the Show Me Off-Road Shootout. We'll have for sure one guest, Michael Meister, is going to join us on episode 2. I'll talk to our friend Nolan. I'm going to do my best to get him on the show as well. So that's good news for all of you. I know that you've missed our voices, but less Shane and Brent on the next show. I'm sure you're happy for that by now at this point, if you've made it this far. And we'll also talk some predictions. So look for that episode coming soon. But that's all for this one. This has been the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by AMSOIL. Thanks for listening. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks for listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by AMSOIL.
Hey, we're rocking, though. It's good stuff.
You ain't a kid. That's the thing to look at it.